In a couple of weeks, we will be having our annual choir camp week, that fun week of music and fellowship for younger kids. And part of choir camp is learning a biblical musical and then presenting it to the congregation on the Sunday there at the end of choir camp week. The musical this year is Table for 5,000, based on the story told in all the Gospels of the miraculous account of Jesus feeding the multitudes with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. It happens to be the Gospel lectionary text for this particular Sunday, so I'll be reading it from the Gospel according to John, John's account of the feeding of the 5,000. If you want to follow along with me, it's in the 6th chapter of John, the first 15 verses. It's on page 91 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people? Jesus said, Make the people sit down. Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Friends, grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Literary editor and popular biographer A.N. Wilson, in his book Jesus, A Life, includes an interesting discussion of the feeding of the 5,000 as John records it. A treatment which has the ring of authenticity about it as it relates to the larger ministry of Jesus, what we know about Jesus, and it is his treatment of this account that informs my brief comments this morning as we lead into the sharing of the Lord's Supper. In our passage this morning, there is a phrase which the New Revised Standard Version translates inclusively, which Wilson suggests is meant exclusively. The phrase to which I refer is, make the people sit down. In the original Greek, the word the New RSV and many other Bibles translate as people is actually masculine, men, make the men sit down. But as these translations seek to be inclusive in their language, a noble undertaking which I surely support, men here is translated as people. Well, Wilson suggests that here, Jesus perhaps intentionally means to be exclusive, addressing the men. Yes, by all means, there were women and children present in the crowd. Yet, as he suggests, perhaps on this occasion, Jesus was primarily referring to men, or at least to certain groups of men. Make the men sit down. As the early church was diverse theologically and often embroiled in controversy, So Judaism was incredibly fractured during the time Jesus lived. The fall of the Maccabean family from power in 37 BC led to a proliferation of Jewish sects and parties. Besides the three chief parties, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes, various groups led by men and consisting primarily of men, such as the Zealots, the Iscariot, challenged the established religious center. In fact, to get a humorous look at this, these splinter groups, check out Monty Python's Life of Brian sometime. Anyway, these groups, many of which espoused a violent overthrow of the occupying power, sought a foothold within power structures, a foothold they believed would restore the fortunes of Israel and catapult them to political power. Fomenting popular uprisings, many of these groups encouraged the use of force, violence, in attaining their objectives. To be fair, not all groups engaged in guerrilla tactics and subterfuge. Some groups were not so overtly aggressive. The Essenes, for example, preached withdrawal from society and a life of asceticism. And of course, the Pharisees and Sadducees existed within the context of the occupying power, forging something of an uneasy peace, if you will, with the Romans. Yet, is it not possible that Jesus here is addressing those men who were seeking especially to overthrow through physical means, violence, the occupying power, or seeking to manipulate events through force so as to move up the ladder, so to speak, in terms of groups who had legitimacy and power? Here, sitting on the hillside, Jesus says, "Make the men sit down." In this context, control your impulse to dominate, harness your desire to strike out in violence, to fight, to win at any cost, resist the tendency to meet injustice with aggression, curb your appetite for control. Instead, exalt the urge to reconcile, to conciliate, to value, to cooperate. Nurture the desire to understand, to sympathize, to empathize. Make the men sit down. Violence is not what I am all about. Rather, exalt the urge to reconcile. A misuse of this passage? Is this interpretation an example of taking a text out of context, presumably as a pretext for supporting a pre-formed opinion? Well, while admittedly the feeding of the 5,000 is important for other reasons, consider verse 15, how this pericope, this passage ends. "Perceiving then, immediately after the feeding, that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself." Their way, that is, the way of force, of violence, even in response to oppression and aggression, is not Jesus' way. Make the men sit down. Here and throughout his preaching and teaching, Jesus offers an alternative, a new vision of God's kingdom, a vision wherein reconciliation and relationships trump violence and domination. Jesus offers a new vision of God's kingdom wherein compassion and empathy are more important than power and aggression. Jesus offers a new vision of God's kingdom wherein cooperation and openness are more important than ego fulfillment and manipulation. Make the men sit down. You know, John reports for us that the crowd did sit down. At least momentarily, they sat down and shared a simple meal. At least for this particular moment, differences of ideology and politics were cast aside, and the people participated in an experience of unity and oneness, a meal foreshadowing the messianic banquet to come. This unity, of course, was short-lived, as they did not stay down long. In fact, as we have seen, they tried by force to make Jesus king. We see the struggle for power being played out in the last days of Jesus' life as brutal and violent behavior toward him led to his death. But in refusing to endorse any popular ideology, to lend his name or power or authority to any popular political or social movement, Jesus condemns them in favor of an even more radical call of obedience to the Holy God of Israel, a call to obedience based on the concepts of love, forgiveness, charity, compassion, sacrifice, suffering. in telling the men to sit down, the Jesus of history challenged Israel with a new vision of the kingdom of God, a challenge every bit as cogent and timely today as it was some 2,000 years ago. Unfortunately, history shows that men don't sit down. Regardless of the political or religious persuasion, we don't sit down. From crusades, going into battle, to pogroms, to ethnic cleansing, to bombing of abortion clinics, to suicide bombers, men and women don't sit down. Amidst the firing of rockets and shooting down of planes and killing of children, Jesus' plaintive cry is ever so timely: make the people sit down. It even applies to us in our daily walk. In our personal relationships, are not our discussions or arguments with our spouse or child or parent or friend too often thinly disguised attempts at maintaining the upper hand, vain efforts at staying in control? Can we allow ourselves to be vulnerable in our relationships? Jesus offers a new vision of the kingdom of God in his teaching, in his preaching through how he lived, a vision surely at odds with our present world and its emphasis on power and rule and being number one. Oh, that warring factions in many African countries could embrace this vision of God, that the Jews of Israel and Hamas and the Palestinian Arabs of the occupied territories could embrace this vision of God. Oh, that fundamentalist and liberal Christians could embrace this vision of God and sit down together on the hillside. Isn't it ironic that Christ, who came so that walls of division might be torn down, is today ripped apart from within by those who call on his name? Oh, that you and I, as we seek to minister here at the First Presbyterian Church at Caldwell, might embrace this vision of God, a vision made manifest in the life and teaching of Christ, a vision of sisterhood and brotherhood, where the lion and lamb shall dwell together, where brothers and sisters live together in unity without rancor, where the urge to reconcile and serve dominates the desire for control. May God grant to us the vision wherein all God's children sit down together on the hillside. It's a vision to pray for. It's a vision to strive for in your life, in my life, in our life as a congregation together. Indeed, even in our world.